right. Welcome, everyone, to the sixth episode of The Podcast Dude, a show about podcasting from your very special friend, Aaron Dowd, me. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening today. Everyone in the chat, holler. How you guys doing? I'm feeling good. Today, we're talking about how to set up a podcast website. So I'm going to be talking about websites and then what you'll need to get your podcast published in iTunes, because that's kind of the big goal. iTunes is really the big player when it comes to how people find and listen to podcasts. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about how I got into making websites, because the process of making a website is fairly complicated, and there are going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to learn. And if you're brand new to it, if you've never done it before, there's going to be stuff that frustrates you. Just a fair warning. Don't give up. You can do it. You're smart. You're good looking. I believe in you. But so back in 2009, I was 23, 24 years old, and I got this great idea in my head that if I could teach myself how to make websites and do graphic design, I could do a job on my laptop, which would allow me to go on tour. And I've told this story tons and tons of times, but I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll learn how to make a website. How hard can it be? Well, so I took a class at my local community college, and it was Introduction to HTML and CSS. And I'll talk a little bit more about those here in a minute, but learned the basics of like how to get a website up on a server, how to put some words in there, how to put some pictures up, just the very, very basic things. And I was like, cool, I can do this. So I kept doing it. I kept learning. Eventually, I created my own blog. I started off on WordPress.com, which is just a free solution. You don't have to do anything crazy. You can just set up a blog. Eventually, I moved over to a WordPress.org, a self-hosted WordPress site. And then I had my first client. So someone came to me and was like, hey, I need a really simple website. I was like, cool, I can do this. They gave me $100. And it was challenging, you know. And then it was like, okay, how do I buy a domain name, and how do I link the domain name to the actual website? But eventually, I learned how to get sites up, how to put content in. What I ended up doing was actually getting a job after a while as a front end web developer. So I was writing code for websites at a company in Fort Worth, and how I got into podcasting was I was listening to podcasts to learn more about this stuff, because there are so many things. And, you know, at the same time, I was learning about podcast editing, and I liked them so much that I was doing some of that on the side. I'd gotten a couple of clients. I was thinking about transitioning. So I'm really, really grateful I spent the time to learn how to make websites, because if I hadn't have set up a site for my own business, thepodcastdude.com, what it used to be. Now it's merged with Sean West, but before it was kind of my personal business site. I don't think I would have gotten the clients that I'd gotten. I don't think I would have spent enough time to learn how to do all the stuff that I'm sharing with you right now. So if you don't have any experience with making a website, I really think it's a great idea that you take some time and learn how to do HTML and CSS and how to buy a domain. So all that stuff is what I'm going to be talking about today. But and there's also some great solutions if you want to start a podcast and get it into iTunes. So first off, why do you actually need a website? Technically, you don't need a website. I mean, you need a website, but you could create an RSS feed, host a file somewhere, and submit that feed to iTunes. But that's, trust me, you need a website. The main thing about getting a show into iTunes is an RSS feed. And this is just a file with a bunch of code in it that has information about your podcast. So like your title, your show description, information about the episodes, and you submit the address of that, and that file lives on a server somewhere, you know, probably the same one as your website or whatever hosting company you end up going with. You submit the address of that feed to iTunes, and then anytime you create a new show and upload it, iTunes reads that and pushes it out to all the various podcast players and whatever else. So you need an RSS feed, and you also need a place to host your MP3 files. And a website is like a home for your podcast. It's a great place for all your stuff to live. It's a place where people can visit and see the new episodes and learn more about you and get in touch if they want to. And I think that's really, really important, because social media is great as well. But when someone goes to your site, you can really control the experience they have. You can put all your copy on there. You can tell them about yourself, tell them about your show. You can, and I think should, have an email newsletter sign up form on that page. We talked about this in the last episode, the importance of having an email list and how you can use that to, when people sign up for it, you can send them an autoresponder that says, thanks for signing up. I'm really glad that you're interested in getting emails from me. And also, here's what you can expect from me. What can I help you with? What are you struggling with? And people interested in being your fans or being your friends or just developing that relationship will respond with questions, and you can use those as show topics. So that's really, really great. Email newsletters, like, yeah, it's a game changer. Email is great. I'll have to do a whole other episode about that. But if you're interested in that, MailChimp is a great service for that. It's free for your first 2,000 subscribers. I can recommend it. It's got a lot of great tutorials to help you get started. But there's a couple other benefits to having your own website as well. If you're doing a show where you're going to be interviewing people, having a website is a place where you can send them, and that'll give them a chance to see that you take podcasting seriously. So they could go there and they could see your previous episodes. They could see, oh, hey, this person has taken the time to set up something nice. You know, oh, here's a picture of him. Here's what he does. Here's the about page. I can read more. This can help sway them to say yes to investing their time and coming on your show. It's also a great place to link to iTunes and ask for iTunes reviews. And it's a place for you to put your show notes. So these are all reasons why it's a great idea to have a website. And first off, going to have a website, got to buy a domain name. So where can you buy a domain name? There's a lot of places you can buy a domain name. And I use and really, really like Hover. And it's really simple to buy domain names. Great support. They'll help you if you get stuck. There's stuff called DNS that you'll need to learn about. I won't go into that here, but I will put a link to an introduction to that. So you got to go buy a domain name. I'd advise that you choose a name, and this comes back to how you name your podcast, but hopefully you name your podcast something that is easy to spell and easy to remember. But if you don't, maybe you can buy a domain name. Like, I got thepodcastdude.com. I love that domain name. Some of the other ones, like shoptalkshow.com, seanwest.com, these are easy to say to people, and you don't have to do any crazy spelling. They don't have to remember a bunch of weird words or numbers. Actually, I don't even know if you can do numbers. But anyways, try to go with something simple, something easy to spell, something easy to remember. All right, so if you don't have any experience building a website, it is a good idea to invest time in learning how to make a website. It's time well spent. So many people use the internet these days, and I think basic web design skills are essential for any kind of business or creative pursuit. So what do I mean when I say web design? Okay, so if you're brand new, if you've never done this before, here are a few things that you should focus on if you have no previous experience. First is HTML and CSS. HTML is short for hypertext markup language, and this may sound crazy, but it's just a language for describing the elements of your web page. So you have words, and you can wrap it with these tags, which are just a few letters inside of angle brackets, and that just tells the web browser how to display the content. So these are things like headers, links, images, all these things, HTML, and then CSS. CSS stands for cascading style sheets, and it's code that tells the web browser how the content on your website is supposed to look. So which fonts it should use, what colors these different pieces should be, whether there's borders or underlines and things like that. So I'm going to link in the show notes, there is a website called Codecademy that has a free tutorial. Says it takes about 3 hours, but it'll walk you through what HTML and CSS are and how to use them. I took a look at it, and it looks really great. I think it's basically the time I spent in a whole semester, you'll probably be able to do that in 3 hours. So head over there. Links in the show notes, of course. And the second thing, if you're going to learn web design, You just got to learn the basics of graphic design. So for most people, I think learning how to put some text on top of a picture will get you 90% of the way there. And obviously, there's a ton of other things that go into graphic design, like white space, typography, layout, contrast, color theory. But really, you can get started with free or cheap software. If you just Google free graphic software for Mac or Windows, play around with it. I got started with I don't even know if I should call it graphic design, but I guess that's what it is. I got started with a $30 Mac app called Pixelmator, and it's pretty nice. You probably heard a lot about Photoshop, maybe played around with it a little bit. But yeah, I would say the important things in graphic design are, I think the biggest one is probably typography. So learning how to lay out types, fonts, as well as some of the things that go along with that are like the different sizes and line height and kerning. So I'll include a link to some typography tutorials. That's a huge thing. I think that's something a lot of people get wrong for a while. And if you can learn the basics and get good at typography, all the rest of your design and your website will look much, much better. I mentioned earlier, white space, contrast, and color theory, also great things. So, but this isn't a show about design. All right. So, but for your podcast, let's talk about some good options for podcasting websites. And there's some companies, some services online that kind of provide a all-in-one package that is, hey, if you need a website, if you don't want to spend time learning about how to do code, then here you go. We already made something for you. You can just pay us money and you'll have something. Maybe you can do some customization. And I think the best option for you is going to depend on a few things. One is price. Two is ease of use. And then also customability. Is that a word? Customization? Customability. That's not a word. But I really like Squarespace. And Justin in the chat had asked earlier if Squarespace is bringing us this show. Squarespace does not sponsor this podcast. They sponsor a lot of podcasts, but they are super, super great for people that have some experience with doing things on the web, setting up profiles, writing, all these kind of things. But you don't have to mess with any of the back-end code. And they have great-looking sites. You can podcast from them. I believe they have an option for creating an RSS feed. You can host your files there, although there are a few reasons why you should probably get hosting from somewhere else. But it's $96 a year to get a Squarespace site. If you pay, or $8 a month, I think. If you pay in advance, you'll get a free domain name. That's an option too. That's, you know, a little bit extra icing on the cake. It's a little bit more expensive than some of the other options, but it is easier to use. It's customizable. You got MailChimp integration. You can throw videos on there. You can throw graphics in there. You can move things around. All their sites are responsive. And we got to talk about responsive for a second. So back up just a little bit. Any site that you get, make sure that it is responsive. This is huge, 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 huge. And if you have never heard the term before, responsive web design is a phrase coined by a great web developer named Ethan Marcotte. He did a talk back in May of 2010, and this idea, it really changed how people make websites. And back in the day, people coded websites in a static width, so maybe 600 or 800 pixels wide. This is about the size of a screen of a normal desktop computer back then. And what happened is when smartphones came out, like your iPhones, your Androids, they had screens that were much smaller than 600 or 800 or even 1,024 pixels. They had much, much smaller screens, so you had to pinch and zoom, and the text was small because it was created for viewing on a desktop. It was just a terrible experience for people on mobile devices. So he and some other really smart web designers saw this, and they started thinking about ways that they could rewrite the code for the sites to make the sites respond to whatever size screen it was. So reshape things, resize things, make the text bigger, all these different little pieces that you can learn about. But you need a responsive site. All of Squarespace templates are responsive, so that's great. That's just built in. There's a lot of WordPress templates out there that are as well. And a few of the other options I'm going to be talking about, just have that by default. But it's really important that you really want to make sure you do not end up with a site that is not responsive. Because Google now has actually started penalizing people who do not have responsive sites. You won't show up as high in search results. So that kind of sucks too. Okay, so back from that tangent. Squarespace, I really like it. It's really easy. If you're looking for the easiest option, I think Squarespace is it. Although SoundCloud recently started allowing people to do podcasting. This is kind of interesting to me. I have yet to set up anyone's podcast on SoundCloud, but I was checking it out earlier, and it looks like for the free plan, you can get 3 hours of uploads per month. So say you do, this could be a problem if you do an hour long show every week, you would need to upgrade to the 6 hours, which is $6 a month. They call that the paid pro plan. Or you could pay $15 a month for unlimited uploads. And you can pay by the year, I believe, as well. But if you're just getting started, this actually looks like a really, really simple way to get your show into iTunes. It'll create an RSS feed for you. You just plug in your title, some information, you upload the audio file, and boom, you've got your stuff online. It will give you an RSS feed that you can submit to iTunes and your show's in iTunes. So this, it looks really, really simple. I think the downside of this is that you're not going to get a lot of the other options that come along with controlling your own site. So you're not going to get a chance to put a email signup form on your page. You maybe not have a section where people can contact you or leave comments. Although I know on SoundCloud you can leave comments. So, but that's something to explore. I think if you're not quite ready to invest in building your own site, building a Squarespace or a WordPress site, then I think SoundCloud is something to look at. That might work out well for you. Another big option in podcasting are WordPress sites. And this is not the free WordPress.com sites. These are self-hosted WordPress sites that that you can actually buy from hosting services like Bluehost or HostGator or WP Engine. You pay them, and most of these have one-click setups, which basically just means the hosting company will install a WordPress site on a server, and then you have access to it. You can link your domain name to it. You can go in there and you can add pages and create posts and customize it. WordPress is a very, very popular CMS, and that stands for content management system. But it's a very popular way to make a website for not just podcasts, but just in general. I think it powers something like 20% of all the websites in the world. And it's probably the cheapest option as well, I think. I use Bluehost for hosting. I've got a couple sites, like my band site is on Bluehost. It's a WordPress site. And I think I paid like $30 or $40 for a year, something like that. So super cheap. But I think out of all the options I'm going to talk about today, I think it is probably the most difficult to set up and use for anyone who doesn't have any experience with making websites at all. But since it is a very popular site for making all kinds of websites, there are a lot of plugins you can use to enhance functionality. There's a very, very large developer base, so people that are willing to help you with your site, you can pay them, you can hire people. So that's an option. The Sean West is seanwest.com, the site that my podcast is actually on. What I merged my previous, which my previous site was a Squarespace site, so I just ported some of the content over and put it on Sean's site, which is a WordPress site. But yeah, it's just a little bit more complicated, a little bit cheaper. Maybe not a bad idea if you're kind of interested in nerding out about making websites and getting familiar with all this stuff. Very, very powerful as far as customization too. There's a lot of different things you can do for it. Okay, so if you're going to be using WordPress, you'll need a plugin called PowerPress, and that's by a company called Blueberry. So PowerPress has a lot of the podcasting functionality that you'll need, and it just inserts some tags specifically for iTunes into the RSS feed, because WordPress sites make RSS feeds, but PowerPress will be the piece that you need to get your show into iTunes, to grab the feed and then submit it. So cool. The other one, and the one that I actually have started sending all my new clients to, a lot of the recent clients, someone just says, hey, I just want to get my podcast into iTunes. I don't really need a crazy fancy site, but I actually really like this. It's Simplecast. Simplecast is kind of like a, it is another one of those all-in-one solutions made specifically for podcasters. And it's $12 a month or $120 a year. It is really well designed and really easy to use. They will give you a website for your show. You go and you sign up and you put in all your information about your show, and they'll give you a website. You can choose from some templates that are all responsive, so you don't have to write any code. You can link your own domain name to it. In the previous episode, we talked about time jump links, and that's just little links that are timestamps that if you include them in your show notes, you can click on it and it'll make the audio player go to a specific point. So say like 5 minutes and 78 seconds into the episode, it'll start playing there if you have a time jump link. That's all built in, so you don't have to worry about any of that. So that's really cool. It's got great stats. So you can see how many people listened to and downloaded your show and where they're coming from and like what devices they're using. Simplecast is really, really nice. Oh, also I want to mention multiple users or multiple admins on an account. So this is really great for me. If you have a show and you sign up for Simplecast, you can actually, like say you work with an audio engineer, an audio editor, podcast editor, or someone writing your show notes, or someone just helping with you with the show in general, you can actually give them access to the admin section of your account so they can create and edit episodes and show notes and upload things and change things. That's really, really nice. That makes it really easy to do. You can do something similar in WordPress too if you create like admin or there's a few different roles you can have. So, but I really like that, the ability to have multiple users on an account. So yeah, check out Simplecast. I really, really like it. Unlimited uploads, unlimited downloads, unlimited bandwidth. So that's really cool. All right. Okay, I'm going to talk about hosting options just real quick. I'm going to touch on Libsyn and Amazon S3. So one thing that you'll need to do is set up your MP3 file hosted somewhere that will deliver that file or let people download that file. And that's done by Simplecast. You can put a MP3 file. You can host an MP3 file on a Squarespace site. I didn't do research about bandwidth, but it can eat up a lot of bandwidth. And I think depending on the number of downloads you're expecting to have, you may end up hosting your file on something like SoundCloud or Libsyn. And Libsyn is just a file hosting service. It can also generate an RSS feed for you, I believe. But if you go that route, you're not going to have a website that you can customize. Although I think they offer you a podcast page, but last time I looked, Libsyn didn't have very good-looking podcast pages. So yeah, I think if you just wanted to do some file hosting, Libsyn would work fine. Prices start at $5 a month for 50 megabytes of hosting space, so you can upload 50 megabytes. That's depending on how long your shows are. You may need to upgrade to the next tier, which is $15 a month for, 200 megabytes, I think? Something more, but unless you have a show that's less than 15 minutes long, if you're podcasting weekly, you'll probably use more than 50 megabytes of space. So yeah, it's a good place to host your audio files. They do fast delivery. They'll give you stats for your listener numbers, all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking back, and the very first website I ever used, excuse me, the very first podcast I ever set up, it was a a talk show about tech with some friends. I set up a WordPress site. All right, actually, I think I already had a WordPress site, and I had a WordPress site for myself. I think it was like my blog, and we just created a page for the podcast. And then I hosted the file on Amazon S3. And there were some slightly challenging things that I had to go through to make that work. But it is possible to host your file on Amazon S3. And that's basically just like a cloud server where you drop the file in and you get a URL back, and people can hit that URL and download it. And it works with RSS feeds, but it's a little bit tricky. I'll link to a tutorial, but that's actually one of the more cheaper options because they make you pay per download or per gigabyte of download space, and it's something ridiculously cheap, like 10 cents a gigabyte. So you'd have to rack up some really, really high listener numbers to pay anything substantial. So that, I would say, unless you're semi-familiar with more of these web design type stuff, unless you've been doing web development and you're familiar with working with cloud things, maybe this isn't for you. Maybe just stick to something simpler like Simplecast or WordPress or Squarespace. Okay, I had a couple other notes I wanted to say about actually designing your site. And I think people get stuck on the look and feel of their site and maybe sometimes the content of their site. So I'm going to say, if you have no experience with designing a look for your site, just go simple. Don't do anything crazy. Just make it really, really simple. Pick one or two colors, maybe just even one color for accents, and go with that. Go with a plain white or a plain black background and a single accent color for your headlines or maybe for your logo or something. Don't put a bunch of flashy or complicated pictures or graphics on your site. I think less is more. When people come to your site, they're coming to listen to your podcast, to read your show notes, to learn more about who you are. You probably don't need to have a bunch of flowers or just other random designery looking things. I had to talk my brother-in-law out of this the other day on his blog. He had a bunch of hover effects and a big banner with some stuff on it and a bunch of different colors. And I was like, dude, make it simple. There's a famous German designer. His name was Dieter Rams, or Rams, depending on how German you are. He's world renowned and is considered one of the best designers alive. And his work has inspired Apple's best designer, Johnny Ive, who's worked on the iPods, the iPhones, the MacBooks. Great, great designer. Just beautiful, beautiful products. But Johnny Ive loves Dieter Rams, and Dieter wrote a great list of design principles, which I'll include a link to. He calls them the 10 commandments of design. So I strongly suggest going and reading those because it's really just great information in general when it comes to making things. But the 10th item on the list simply reads, good design is as little design as possible. So the key idea here is less is more. There's beauty in simplicity. So strive to keep your site as simple and clean as possible. Leave white space around your elements. Make sure your text is big and readable. And just focus on what matters, which is the content. The content matters. All right, that's all I got to say about that. Whew, there's a lot of things. But I got to say, if you've been enjoying the show, the best way to support me and this show is to join the Sean West community. If you've heard me talk about the chat, it's the community chat. This is what I'm talking about. It's a place where we hang out and we talk, and there's dozens of people in here. It's really, really great. It's a group of like-minded people that are all doing podcasts and videos and running their own businesses and being entrepreneurs. I really love it. It's completely changed my life. It's taken me in a completely different direction than the one I was going in before. And I don't want to gush on for too long about this, but it's also how we're able to do the show. We don't have sponsors on the Sean West Network. None of the shows, the other shows on the network, like that, go listen to all of them. Seriously, they're great. Sean West Podcast, Lambo Goal, In the Butt with Ben. They're all great shows, and we don't have sponsors for any of them because we give people a chance to support us directly through joining the community, and it is absolutely worth it. You'll get so much out of it. Come in there and say hi. And the other cool thing is that we stream all the podcasts live every week. So we got shows every day of the week now. Wow, that's crazy. I got Monday. You got Sean West Podcast Tuesday and Thursdays. Lambo Goal on Wednesday, and In the Boat with Ben on Friday. So just never-ending podcast. It's great. They're all jam-packed with value. Super fantastic. So head over to seanwest.com/community. Check that out. Look around. You know, just look around Sean's site in general. He's written a ton of great stuff. Good friend of mine. Good guy. All right. Let me know if you guys have any questions, if you have feedback, or if you have some additional questions, if I didn't touch on something that you're curious about. You can send me email at aaron@thepodcastdude.com, or if you just head over to thepodcastdude.com, there's a contact form you can get in touch. So also sign up for my email newsletter. That's there too. I send out show notes every single week. there'll be some other stuff coming there too. There's so many ideas, so many things to do. But thanks for listening. Ooh, I wanted to say, you guys have been really great about leaving me reviews in iTunes. And I got to say, I really, really appreciate that. This podcast is already doing so much better than I ever thought it could. So I wanted to read one of these reviews real quick. This is a review from In Christ Now. And he says, okay, I don't usually post reviews, but after this experience, I just have to. This evening, I emailed Aaron concerning three issues I needed answers to with my newbie podcasting endeavor concerning clicks, a lisp sound, and also some proper equipment. Wow, was I shocked when I actually received a response. He proceeded to address all three issues thoroughly with solid explanations. I was actually able to fix the lisp sound almost immediately after watching his intro to EQ screencast. That's on YouTube, guys. He also recommended the equipment I needed and why, and helped with the other two issues. Thank you, Aaron. You are the man. Know In Christ Now, you're the man. Always glad to help. So, all right. That's the show for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I will catch you next time. I get the same feeling every time I start something new. I remember most recently I was trying to learn how to record and edit screencasts. And I don't know if it's just because I don't have a good attention span or if it's because I have very little patience, but I just remember I have this resistance anytime I learn something new that I don't really understand right away. It's frustrating and it makes me feel stupid and I don't like that feeling. But I think I've kind of learned to be okay with it, to just find the tutorials. Watching videos and screencasts really, really helps me. And so all that to say, if you guys feel like you're getting stuck, don't get frustrated. Just understand that there are processes that you're going to have to learn, things you're going to have to learn how to do. And there are answers out there. You know, run Google searches until you're, well, that's gross. I was about to say till your fingers bleed, but it's terrible. Just understand that it's going to take time. But after you do it once or twice, that's new knowledge. You'll carry that with you for the rest of your life. And I'm so, so glad I took the time to learn how to make websites and learn how to do HTML and CSS. And, at times it felt like, this stuff is so hard and it's crazy. And, am I really ever going to use this? Am I ever going to actually build a website? But eventually I did. And I'm really glad I did. So, yes. Cool. Okay. As far as Squarespace goes, so Danielle is wondering if it's a simple solution for a standalone blog. Yes. Yes, it's a great, great simple solution. Like I said in the show, it's a little bit more expensive. I think $96 a year. Maybe you can find like a 10% off coupon if you search for that. But I found Squarespace delightful to use, even as someone who's built websites and gotten into the code side of things and done it professionally, I still found it delightful to use just for quickly getting content up on a site. So yeah, there's like, you just can't beat the simplicity and speed of it. And they have great looking templates, pretty easy to customize colors and all that kind of stuff. But, maybe something else I could have touched on as far as WordPress sites go, there always seems to be problems with WordPress plugins, breaking sites. I remember, I don't know how I did it, but one time I was updating my site and I just completely broke the site. I think maybe it was something with PHP, but at the time I had made some change. I tried to change templates or something, and the site just completely crashed. I couldn't get to the admin. I don't know. Back then I didn't know enough about it to fix it, so I just scrapped it and started over. But yeah, like that's, man, but that's terrible if you're really attached to your content. I think I was switching to Squarespace at that point anyways. So, all right. Thank you. Thank you guys again for listening. Really, really means a lot to me. I'll see you next week.